Well, good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church this morning. I'm so glad you're here worshiping with us. Isn't it great to be in God's house this morning? So much to be thankful for, so much to focus on this morning that we can focus on our reaching up and worshiping God. I hope and pray that that's your heart this morning, that we would give thanks to what God has done for us, that we would reach up in our worship and acknowledge that all good things come from Him, even when the path doesn't seem straight. Even when God's will seems confusing, even when we're in the valley, we know that God is good and that we worship Him and thank Him for being a great God to us. If you're staying with us this morning, I encourage you to turn to Genesis chapter 12. We're actually going to be several places, Genesis 12, Genesis 18, a little into Genesis 21, so floating around that area. If you have your Bible, you can follow along with us. If not, you can follow along on the screen. And if you want to have all the scriptures we'll be referencing this morning, if you pull up a copy of our digital bulletin on our website and tap our sermon notes, that will pull up all of the references for you right there, and you can follow along that way as well. Last week, we started a six-week series surveying the Old Testament as it leads us to Bethlehem. And from creation to the fall of man, all the way to the prophets in anticipation, the entire Old Testament points to the coming of Christ. And so the rest of this year, I'm hoping to accomplish two things. One is to teach a very brief history through the Old Testament. That way we can see how the puzzle is put together. Maybe you found the Old Testament confusing or hard to follow. We're going to take, and I mean a very brief, quick survey through the Old Testament leading up to the time of Christ. But the second thing this series will do is it will demonstrate how every stage of the Old Testament leads us to Bethlehem. Every single portion of it points us to the coming Messiah. And so last week we looked at the beginning of our journey, which was broken because of sin. And I would like to encourage you to go back and listen to last week's sermon if you were not able to be here. You can find it several ways. You can find it on our website. Now, you can find it through our FBC Robinson app. It's on iTunes or on Google Play. Or you can find it on the iTunes podcast. It will lay a foundation for us as we begin looking through the rest of the Old Testament. There's a reason why the Messiah came. And the reason was to fix what was broken, the sin in our lives that separates us from God. And so this week we're skipping ahead several chapters in the book of Genesis, and this morning's message is entitled, Preparing the Way. The life of Abraham is crucial to the coming of Jesus Christ. The events in his life can be found beginning in Genesis 12. And although we've only moved 9 chapters since last week, we're still in the same book, only 9 chapters. A lot has taken place in these 9 chapters. We have the fall of man. We find the first death of human beings with an act of murder. We see the earth getting increasingly wicked, and so God destroying the entire world save one family through a worldwide flood. We see everyone coming together after the flood, congregating and trying to make themselves like God and building this giant tower to reach up to the heavens, and God miraculously striking them with different languages. So we see the beginning of language in Genesis, and then we get to Genesis chapter 12. A lot of time has passed. As a matter of fact, there are some people who believe there is more time that has passed between Genesis 3 and Genesis 12 than the time that has passed between Genesis 12 and today. Now, these 9 chapters incorporate a lot of history in a very brief time. And all of that builds us up to our key verse this morning in Genesis 18, verse 14. We see in Genesis 18:14, is anything impossible for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will come back to you, and in about a year, she will have a son. That's an important question. Is anything impossible for the Lord? Have you ever faced an impossible task? Have you ever started a job and thought, I'm in over my head, I cannot complete this? I found a few impossible tasks that I find interesting. I'd like to see if any of you can tackle. Did you know that it is impossible to lick your own elbow? Did you know that? Some of you are trying, and I can see right now, I just saw someone lick. Don't try it now. You can't do it. It's impossible to lick your own elbow. Or how about this for an impossible task? I like to see someone try this. To try to look at your own eyebrows without using a reflection or a camera. All right, go ahead and give that a shot. I saw several eyes go up. Anybody see their eyes? Some of you have bigger eyebrows than others. That's not fair. That's cheating. But maybe you faced a more serious impossible task. Maybe you faced an impossible task in life, in job, in a family. Maybe your marriage is broken and it feels like it's impossible. You cannot find a reason to fix it. Maybe you have too many bills for your income and you're trying to pay, but it seems like a mountain that you cannot climb. Maybe you've prayed for your child's salvation and you've begged and pleaed, but they still stray and they've not returned. Maybe there's cancer in your family and your family is facing this horrible disease and it's progressing and not getting any better and it feels like it's an inevitable, impossible task. This morning we're going to look at Abraham and Sarah who prayed for a child and the Lord is not answering them as they ask for a son. The question this morning is, what if God's will for your life isn't what you want it to be? What if God's will for your life is to suffer for a time while we're here on earth? And we know God's ultimate will for His people is restoring the broken relationship with Him. We learned last week, because of sin, we are in a broken relationship, and this salvation, this reconnecting is accomplished through Jesus Christ. And that thousands of years leading up to His birth, God was preparing the way for His will to be accomplished. God is laying the groundwork for the birth of Jesus Christ through Abraham. It was a difficult and seemingly impossible journey that Abraham was on. And God's will is often confusing and seems contradictory to what we want and what we believe to be right. This morning, I would like to look at the life of Abraham. And I would like to look at four principles that help us accept God's will for our life, even when it seems impossible or unbearable. So if you have your bulletin this morning, you can follow along with the blanks and follow along as we read through Genesis. And the first principle we have is this: God's will is very specific. God's will is very specific. You may not know what God's will is for your life, but God does. You might be confused and wondering, what does God have for me? But God is not questioning. He has a very specific purpose for each individual. We're going to look at the beginning of Abraham's time with God in Genesis chapter 12. So if you're in 18, you can flip back to Genesis 12. Before he was given the name Abraham, he was simply known as Abram. And so here we see God calling Abram to follow the will of God in Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." We read this verse and we ask, is God's will very specific? It doesn't sound very specific, does it? God looks at Abram and he says, go, leave everything behind, and I'm going to show you where you're going later. Just go. There's no destination, there's no end point, there's just pick up what you have and leave. That doesn't sound very specific to me, does it? That doesn't sound very specific for Abram. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you say, God's telling me to go, and I don't know the details of that. I want to follow God's will, but it feels like His will is so ambiguous, so out there, I don't even know where to start. God says go, but I don't know whether I'm supposed to go to the right or to the left. I don't know whether I'm supposed to turn around. Maybe I'm just supposed to sit and let God push me. God's will does not seem very specific. And Abram certainly must have heard the will of God. Go to some place I'll eventually show you. And thought, God's will is very general. I don't even know where to start. But rereading this verse, we see that God clearly has a plan. He clearly has a purpose. And While Abram doesn't know the details, God certainly does. In verse 1, God calls Abram to go from your land, leave your community. He says, leave your relatives, that is the security and safety you have of those closest to you, and leave your father's house, your very identity and who you are. Leave all of these things behind. No specifics, just leave your community, your security, and your identity. But then he says in verses 2 and 3, leave your community, your security, your identity, and listen to what he promises. Leave your land, your community, and I'll make you into a great nation. He says, leave the security of your people, and I'll take care of you. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. He says, leave your father's house, your very identity, who you are, and I will make your name great. God says, leave behind all that you hold dear, and trust me, I have a plan to make all of those things even greater than what you can imagine. God doesn't leave out any detail in His will. He's got it all covered. Anything He calls you to do, any step He calls you to make, He already knows His will for your life, and He's already preparing the way. We may be confused. God is not. God's will is very specific. And the blessing of God's will, secondly, is not only is it specific, but God's will invites our participation. It invites us to be a part of it. Now, let me be very clear. God doesn't need us. Have you ever wondered, is it better to be needed or be wanted? Have you ever asked that question? We play would you rather with our girls all the time. Would you rather, you know, go to Disney World, or would you rather go to Mamaw's house? And usually Disney World even beats Mamaw's house, but not always, you know. Would you rather have to eat broccoli or asparagus? And would you rather, and an interesting would you rather question, would you rather be needed or wanted? Would you rather be around people who need you there and have to have you there, or people that desire to have you there, that want you there? I tell you, to me, it's a no-brainer. I would much rather be wanted than needed. When you're needed and you're no longer needed, you're done and cast away with. When you're wanted, it doesn't matter whether you're needed or not. There's no condition to the love. It's just a desire. Have you ever thought for a minute, God doesn't need you, but He wants you? God doesn't need us to accomplish His will, but He invites us to participate. He desires us. He wants to use us. It's an amazing thought. God invites you to be a part of His will. In Genesis 12:1, God told Abram, go, go. And in verse 4, we see Abram's response. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. So Abram went. With that simple phrase, the journey to Bethlehem takes a giant leap forward. God could have used any method, any purpose to bring Jesus into the world, but He chose the family of Abraham. God's will invites our participation. You know, one thing most frequently asked of me as a pastor is, what is God's will for my life? All the time, I'm just trying to seek what God's will is for my life. If I only knew what God's will is for my life, can you tell me and help me decipher what God's will is for my life? I believe we're asking the wrong question. I don't think that that's the most important question we can ask. I think what we should be asking is, if I know what God's will is, would I follow it? If God's will was before me, would I be willing to take a step? I don't believe that God's will is difficult for us to decipher. It's not as hard as we think it is. I think oftentimes we complicate things, but God gives us simple instructions. Go. He doesn't tell Abraham all the details. He doesn't confuse him with all the mess. He just says, go. I think more often than not, God burdens our hearts for things. And the question isn't, do we know whether it's God's will or not? The question is, are we willing to participate? Are we willing to take that step? I think the reason why we don't follow God's will is that your third principle is that God's will involves many obstacles. Many, many obstacles. So many that often we question, is this really God's will for our life? So many obstacles that we can't help but think, this can't be what God wants for me. If God wanted it for me, it would be easy and smooth. God, you're putting all these hurdles. Why are you calling me to do something so difficult? If you're unfamiliar with the story of Abraham and his wife Sarah, there's one detail that is yet to be revealed in Genesis chapter 12. We see that Abraham is 75, Sarah is 65 years old when God calls them to go. And he promises to make their offspring, their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, into a great nation. And later we find that they're 99 years old and 89 years old and still without any children. Sarah is barren and is unable to have children. God, how are you going to fulfill this promise? Now, would you say that that is quite an obstacle to accomplishing God's will in Abraham's life? They've tried to force the promise. Abraham gives birth to a son with Sarah's servant, but they have no child of promise. No one that God has said, I'm going to bless through you and Sarah. And so in Genesis 18, starting in verse 11, we see clearly the obstacle that lies before them. And Sarah and Abraham certainly understand this as a major roadblock to the will of God. Look with me in Genesis 18, 11. Abraham and Sarah were old and getting on in years. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. That's an understatement if you're 89 years old, by the way. So she laughed to herself at the promise of God. After I have become shriveled up and my Lord is old, will I have delight? Verse 13, but the Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, can I really have a baby when I'm old? Verse 14, is anything impossible for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will come back to you, and in about a year, she will have a son. Just like us, when we approach the will of God and He corrects us, we don't want to accept it. Sarah denies it. I did not laugh, she said, but because she was afraid. But he replied, no, you did laugh. God sees her doubt. God's will involves many, many obstacles, many barriers. And the reason why I believe we don't follow God's will is because it's hard. It's difficult. And sometimes, quite honestly, following the will of God is impossible. It just can't happen. How many times have we prayed, Lord, show me your will? And when He burdens our heart on what His will is, we see how difficult it is and we decide that must not be your will because that's not my will. God, that's too difficult for me to do. That requires too much work and too much effort. It cannot be done. How many times do we seek God's will and He burdens us, but all of the worries of life, all of the stresses before us keep us from walking down where He calls us to go. Our question is not what is God's will for my life, but if I know God's will, if I see clearly the obstacles, will I still follow? So we labor and we labor and we fight for the will of God. And we work and we work, we fight and we strive, and all of our lives we feel like we're trying to be in the will of God, only to look around like Sarah and Abraham and say, we're 99, we're 89, and we still have no children. God, I've prayed for years and years and years, and my child's still lost. I've witnessed and I've reached out and I've done everything in my power, and they still won't listen. Lord, I've begged and pleaded for financial security, just to pay my bills, not for wealth, just to get by, and I'm still living paycheck to paycheck or even below that. Lord, I've begged and I've pleaded for the promise that You've given me of comfort and security and identity, and Lord, I'm striving for it, and years later, we don't see results. All we see is obstacles. And our final principle on the will of God is that God's will doesn't follow our schedule. God's will simply does not follow our schedule. We live in a society that says we want it and we want it now. It's not enough that we have to call and order pizza to be delivered to us, but we need it in 30 minutes or less. It's not okay that we're going through a fast food drive-thru. If that little ticker at the top of the McDonald's window dares to hit 60 seconds, we're outraged and angry. This isn't fast food, this is slow food. We get so frustrated and upset when our favorite fast food chain takes away the barbecue sauce that we love so dearly. Just give it back. We get so frustrated at life and we say, Lord, what is happening? You know, we do the same thing in our own personal will, don't we? God, I've prayed for health and I'm getting sicker. God, I've prayed for financial peace and I'm getting poorer. God, I've prayed for salvation for family and they keep shutting me down. When will you hear me and when will you answer? Genesis 18, 14, our theme verse this morning, asks the question, is anything impossible for the Lord? And God says, at the appointed time, at just the right moment, I will come back to you. This is an individual speaking on behalf of the Lord. And in about a year, I will have a son. Now, if you're not very good at math, let me help you. Abraham is going to have a son at 99 plus another year, 100 years old. Sarah is going to give birth at 89 plus another year, 90 years old. And God says, that's the appointed time I have for you. You know, our will says, God, give it to me now. But God's will does not follow our schedule. It does not follow our timeline. So we ask and we beg and we pray, Lord, show me what to do. And when He speaks, we take a step and we go and we realize there's obstacles, but we fight through. And after years and years and years of struggling, we think we're entitled to God answering us. And God says, wait another year. Wait for my time. Wait for my schedule. The beauty of God's will, though, is that it ultimately is accomplished. It doesn't follow our schedule, but at the appointed time, it always comes to pass. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 21, we see the fruit of the promise of God. Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and everyone who hears will laugh with me. She also said, who would have told Abraham and Sarah that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne a son for him in his old age. Here's the wonderful thing about following the will of God, is that God is laying the groundwork, preparing the way, and is accomplishing His will in His time and in His way. Who would have thought that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem all because Abraham went? So Abram got up and went. This 75, eventually to be 99-year-old man, and his 65, eventually to be 89-year-old wife, would simply take a step of obedience. And in that step, we see God, in the appointed time, gives them a son, who gives birth to another son, who gives birth to 12 sons, who give birth to many, many more children, and end up becoming a nation of millions, who has a king, who is a man after God's own heart, who rebels against Him and ultimately gets taken away into captivity, who eventually gets separated and lost only to have a remnant return. And God says, in this remnant, I will call you to Jerusalem, only to have 400 years of silence and waiting again for the will of God, only to have, after possibly 1,000 years between Abraham or more, between Abraham and Jesus, because Abram went, here comes Jesus born in Bethlehem. Our timetable is too short. God is preparing the way, and He's using us following His will to accomplish purposes in our lives and in others. The question is not, Lord, what is Your will for my life? The question is, Lord, am I willing to follow where You lead me? This morning, as we come to our time of invitation, maybe this morning you've been asking yourself, Lord, why have You brought me here? And why? What is my purpose? And your entire life, He's been preparing the way, maybe for this singular moment, for you to realize that your will isn't cutting it, but God's will is. This morning, maybe God has prepared your heart to surrender to Him. Say, Lord, my life of sin and running from You, Lord, I surrender that to You this morning. Lord, I ask forgiveness this morning. Maybe God has been using the events of your life to prepare you to say, Lord, Your will is better than my will, and I surrender to You. as God leads us during our time of invitation, I would invite you to close your eyes and bow your heads and ask God, not just what is your will for me, but Lord, what are you leading me to do? Will you pray? Father, I'm grateful and I'm thankful that we have your Son, Jesus Christ, to lead us. Lord, as we all seek to know your will for our lives, we pray that as you reveal it, and you will, that we would be faithful like Abram to go. Lord, let us see the obstacles in front, but know steadfastly that you're calling us to endure. And Lord, give us patience, give us endurance, and at the appointed time, show us the fruit of our faithfulness. Lord, we pray for those this morning who have been following their own will their entire lives. We pray that they would surrender. We pray that they would see this baby born in Bethlehem as a man who has come to take away sins of the world. And so, Lord, we pray that you would prepare their heart to be softened, to ask forgiveness for the things they've done wrong, and yield their lives to follow your will. Lord, we love you and we thank you for preparing the way and using us to do it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.